The weekly long box is brought to you by Bake Me a Wish. Don't waste money sending flowers, send a cake instead. Bake Me a Wish is a gourmet New York bakery specializing in delivering gift cakes for the holidays, birthdays, any occasion, overnight, all over the United States. Visit them today at bakemeawish.com.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 64 of the Weekly Long Box. I'm Todd, joined with Leonard. How you doing today, Leonard?
Oh, yeah. How we doing, Johnny?
I'm doing great. Doing fantastic. Keeping warm and moving and everything.
Yeah. I'm in a good mood.
Why is that?
We got stuff to talk about in comics, baby.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do. We got plenty of stuff to talk in comics this week. But how was your weekend? Pretty good?
Busy. Very busy. It was National Pro Wrestling Day this past Saturday, and we had a free event in the Philadelphia National Guard Armory. It was 23 matches over the course of two shows. I was at the building from 9 a.m. until 10:30 in the evening, and because of the snow that Philly got that we did not get, my usual slightly under two-hour drive took me about four to get home.
And then you had to clean the joint too, right?
No. I did enough setting up beforehand, so I was able to skate out of there as soon as like the final pinfall came down.
You put your time in early, so you don't have to put your time in late. I like that.
If you will. No, it was a lot of fun. Got to see a lot of people. Got to see a lot of new people wrestling and some old-timer. And again, I don't want to say old-timer folks, but, you know, people you might know, like your Hurricanes and Tommy Dreamers and Two Cold Scorpios and people like that.
Mm-hmm. And what did you say? It was 23 matches?
23 matches.
For free?
For free.
That is your money's worth, my friend.
Mm-hmm. And then we did a deal with, our internet pay-per-view thing set up as well. And you can get the entire show through internet pay-per-view. It was $15 if you got the entire show. And it wasn't like, it's like not like a one-time watch. You buy it the day that it happened and you have it forever.
Wow, that is pretty cool. That's like a DVR wrestling match.
It's almost like the future is here.
You know me and technology, we don't get along. So.
Mm-hmm.
But me, I just sat around, watched the Super Bowl, and cried because my phone exploded.
Yes, how did this happen?
It was just where you plug in the charger.
Right.
Like, on the phone, broke. So it was, no matter what you did, it was just once the charge was gone, the phone was, you know, forever dead. So mm-hmm. I had to take it back, and I had the thing where I can get a new phone, you know, our phone replacement. And the only problem was they're going to overnight it to you, but it was Saturday, so I had to wait till Monday. So I was going to live tweet the blackout Super Bowl, but I couldn't. So I was all sad.
Well, we'll get into this a little bit in the comic book news. Super Bowl in the comic book news, what's a? But I did not see a single solitary moment of the Super Bowl.
I did. I saw a lot of it because like I said, it didn't end till like 11 o'clock because of the blackout. But, you know, with friends hanging out, you were invited to the party, but you big-timed us.
I certainly did.
Yeah, but we'll move on. We'll move on. We got plenty of news to talk about. Lots of movie news and rumors today.
Mm-hmm.
Free comic book news that has me jacked.
Yes.
And we have some Kickstarter news that has Leonard going absolutely crazy.
Oh, yeah.
We got digital book sales and free books.
Mm-hmm.
What we read last week, I think we cross over on everything. I think we have like Batman and Robin, Hawkeye, and other stuff.
Yes, I wonder what that other stuff is going to be.
I didn't want to mention it. I didn't want to get to dive into it too early and, you know, get the fans all worked up. And we have what we're looking forward to this week.
Mm-hmm.
We have the thing that's sweeping Twitter, the Sketch Party Saturday.
Yes, and again, it's not because I'm holding off on my one final sketch that I have. It's actually because I was so busy on Saturday I didn't get a chance to tweet it.
And I tweeted mine late because my phone blew up.
Right.
I had to wait till you get home to the computer. And we have our Twitter question, which is, what is your favorite geographical location in comics? A lot of interesting, weird things on this, and some of them almost made me want to change my answer.
Now, I'll say this. This was not as much response that we had last time with the favorite redhead in comics, but people are, you know, they're right back in the thick of things. This was one that brought a lot of people to the table, and I'll say this. Mayan, when you said it, I immediately thought of something, and there was very little crossover, but somebody guessed Mayan. I'd line up with somebody else, one of our listeners.
I also line up with one of our listeners, so I wonder if we line up again, but we don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves.
Right. This is at least for hour three of the podcast.
That's right. Maybe four.
Right. We're going to burn the candle tonight, so hopefully That's your right. battery is charged in your iPhone, that you didn't break the port, that you could plug it in and keep it all charged up, because we're burning it tonight, baby.
That's right.
Or today, or whenever it is that you're listening to this. Where are we starting with the news, Todd?
Let's start with, like, all the movie rumors and news.
Yes. Well, movie, not so much as rumors, but news. The Iron Man 3 spot that aired with the Super Bowl.
Right.
I did not see it.
I saw it, and the way that... Do you know how they did it?
Nope. I have no idea, because I said to myself, if I'm home and I'm watching the Super Bowl and I see the Iron Man 3 trailer, then so be it. But after that, I'm cutting myself off, and then I saw the links, and everybody's like, oh, did you see Iron Man 3, Iron Man 3? And I'm like, if I didn't see it, I didn't see it. I missed it. I could wait 3 months till it comes out in the theaters.
Actually, it was beautifully done for people like me and you. Mm-hmm. It was one of those, the Iron Man trailer came up, and you know, and I'm watching the Super Bowl with a room full of comic fans, except for the wives and girlfriends. And no, but and it came up, and we're like, oh, I'm like, and it was a really cool scene, but it was about 10 to 15 seconds, and then it was one of those, if you want to see the rest, go to www.whatever and see how it ends. And I was like, I'm fine with that, because it's something that, like, you know, Iron Man gets into trouble, and he has to figure out solve the problem, and I don't want to see how he solves the problem.
Ah.
Just enough to know that there's a problem, I'm like, that's a tease enough. Basically, you know, it's basically he's on a plane, you know, decompresses, a bunch of people falls out. He's talking to Jarvis. He goes, how many people can I carry? And it's like, the computer tells him 4. And he's like, how many people are there? And he's like, 13. And he's like, okay. And he starts to grab one person, and they're like, to see the rest of this, go to thing. And I'm like, you know what? I almost respect that more, because now I don't have to see it. And mm-hmm. if I want to, I can. So, I don't know. I liked it.
Well, again, I say, you know, and even did you go to the website to see?
No, I like that just enough to whet my appetite, and I'm done for Iron Man 3 trailers now.
Mm-hmm.
So
I guess, is Iron Man 3 officially the beginning of Phase 2 of the Marvel movies, as they're commonly being referred to as?
I think it is. If not, I think it is. I think, 'cause this time around it's going to be, unless it's Thor or Cap, but, you know, when we get into Guardians of the Galaxy, that's definitely Phase 2 as far as I'm concerned.
Right, so I guess this is like Phase 0.1. This is, mm-hmm. you know, these are the 0.1 phases.
Right, right.
So you mentioned Guardians of the Galaxy. We found our Star-Lord just earlier in the day on Tuesday.
And it's not either you or me.
Someone who I have no idea who it is.
I haven't heard yet.
Yeah, it's a gentleman by the name of Chris Pratt, who is, I think, the second lead on the TV show Parks and Recreation.
Chris, what was his name again?
Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt. No, I have no idea who that is.
He was most recently in the film Zero Dark Thirty. You know, he's a handsome-looking fella. He kind of reminds me of not the Nathan Fillion character, and this is, you know, my nerd cred being flushed down the toilet. The other, like, the second lead character from Firefly?
The pilot or the mercenary?
The guy with the goofy hat.
Adam Baldwin.
Yes, yes, yes. He kind of looks, he has that sort of look to him.
Okay. You know what?
If I'm looking at him. And I'm right all now. For it. You know, I'm okay with someone who I don't have a preconceived notion of his acting ability or lack thereof in the Star-Lord character. And he does comedy, he does action movies, he does suspense, I guess, with the Dark Thirty, a little bit action-y suspense film. So, being that he's essentially going to be the fish out of water, having to carry the film, I hope they made a good choice.
Me too. And they seem to have a decent track record. So I'm going to go with, you know, they know what they're doing. Everybody they've picked so far have no problem with any of the actors that portrayed the comic characters so far. So hopefully luck and the streak continues.
Hopefully. Now, we talk here about, you know, Phase 2 and Phase 3 and all this crazy nonsense. If we're going to consider Iron Man 3 here, the beginning of Phase 2, that, of course, means Guardians of the Galaxy is included in that, as are Thor 2 and Captain America 2. I guess the end of Phase 2 would be Avengers 2. And there was some news over the last couple of weeks of what were in the Phase 3 hopper, if you will, for the Marvel movies. You know, Ant-Man has been talked about quite a bit. Doctor Strange came up recently within the last couple of weeks. But the big rumor to me, and I was actually talking to someone about this at the Super Secret Science job, is that they're going to do the whole Illuminati, Hulk being jettisoned into space, World War Hulk thing. That's the speculation currently for the Phase 3 part of the Marvel movies.
Right, that at some point, you know, he becomes a threat and they send him off. And if they can do that right and then make, I think they were rumored like Avengers 3 would be the World War Hulk. It would be them versus the Hulk would be the threat. I'm like, I'm fine with all this. I think that would be a great story. You know, if you could pull it off, you know, Hulk rampage and throwing tanks and, you know, the superheroes, the Avengers trying to take them down. You know, I think it would be really cool. And I think it would shock a lot of people too, like, you know, who've never read comics. I remember reading the Hulk at the time when they tricked him and sent him, spoiler alert, World War Hulk, sent him out into space.
That's you know, it's spoilers on a book that's 7 years old.
Right, I know, which they made a cartoon of. But I remember reading it and going like this, like they really, you know, took it to the Hulk, and I thought it was awesome. And I think then you have the Hulk movie where he's doing his thing on Planet Hulk and then he comes back. That would be perfect. I don't know what your opinion is.
I'm excited for it. I know it's probably going to be mostly CG stuff, but especially the Planet Hulk stuff, I would love for it to be a bunch of, like, guy in rubber suits fighting.
A la, like, Return of the Jedi, you know, like, the before the CGI stuff.
Yeah, that's what I want. But by the time a Planet Hulk movie comes out, we're going to be well into, like, 2016, 17, you know? We're, like, at least 4 years away. We're another 5 Marvel movies coming out before this even becomes a reality. But I'm all for the Hulk, only because a majority of this household likes the Hulk.
Right. Because isn't everything Green Hulk?
Well, no, he's come around. Like, he knows that the magic box in the office can make the Hulk appear.
Ooh.
And he points at it and says, Hulk, Hulk, and tries to jump up and get it. So I'll put the Netflix on, and there's, like, all the different, like, Avengers cartoon, the Hulk. You know, we were watching Planet Hulk just earlier, because I'm like, what cartoon on here has the most Hulk? And I'm like, oh, Planet Hulk has the most amount of Hulk in it. And he gets very excited. He likes when the Hulk punches people. And when Banner transforms into the Hulk, he gets extra excited.
See, your son has more technological savvy than me. He knows the magic box brings him the Hulk. But I do like when the Hulk punches things, and I do go crazy when Banner changes into Hulk, too. Me and your kid should really hang out more.
Well, listen, he put his mud and cookie-covered hands all over your Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle omnibus that one time.
He did. We have a picture of that. And also, I still have to teach him the word TARDIS.
We're working on it. He's learning, like, 2 new words a day, so I'm sure TARDIS is on the list.
I'm going to have to slip your wife a few bucks and have her teach him TARDIS.
Oh, goodness. So that's the movie rumor stuff. We actually have legitimate comic book news to talk about. We have the official announcement that April for DC is the WTF month, with those crazy gatefold covers that when you open up the gatefold cover, something out of the ordinary that you weren't expecting is happening in your favorite DC books.
Right. I like the idea. I like the execution. I don't know why. I just don't like the name that they're using for the month. I don't know why. There's just something that stands out about it for me that, you know, like comics. All right, I know. Maybe I'm getting too old, you know. But it's like, you know, the killing and this and that. And I'm like, I don't mind it. But just the whole what WTF stands for, I just find it amusing that, it's, you know, in a comic shop, that's going to be on the covers.
Right, right. So. And, you know, I'm kind of with you on that one. But what are you going to do? It's the way that marketing works these days. Everything needs a name. Mm-hmm. This is what they came up with. I can't imagine what that marketing meeting must have been like.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall just to see what they were the most horrible names they could come up with.
So, you know, there's been some speculation of what's on the other side of those gatefolds. Like, we even saw the gatefold is even on previews. And there's speculation that, like, we got Man-Bats, we got Mr. Zaz, speculation about the Red Hood book. The All-Star Western one is very interesting.
Yes, it is. It has me very interested when I heard about it.
Yes, so we're still a little way. We're about 2 months away before those start rolling out. And, yeah, I'm quite all right with, you know, DC doing something, I guess, to regain some of the foothold they may be losing to Marvel putting out, you know, a new book of every title every day.
That's right. All new X-Men every day, every hour. as long as DC doesn't panic, that's all that matters. They just got to, you know, get back on the saddle and do what they got to do.
Right. Just stay the course. You know, you just stick with what got you where you are now. You know, you guys, DC regained a lot of market share and a lot of sales over the last year and a half. And it would be a shame to see them flush it all down the toilet over a bunch of try to get rich quick schemes.
Mm-hmm. Get poor, slow schemes.
Yes. Get poor, slow schemes. That's the other podcast I do.
I know we've had a few in our time that we wanted to do, but.
So yeah, it'll be very interesting to see exactly what exactly comes out of these.
Yeah, I mean, the gatefold cover is going to be easy to be in a shop and just go, what's behind the gatefold cover? So maybe it'll, you know, get people curious and they'll pick some stuff up that they normally wouldn't.
Maybe they'll polybag them all.
Ooh, that's with a card.
Yes, yes, yes. We say that lame joke every week, but it is true.
You know what? It's one day it's not going to be a lame joke. It's going to be the truth.
It's going to be a horrible, horrible reality.
Yes, it is. But
so, what else do we got comic book wise? The announcement of the free Marvel's Free Comic Book Day book.
Yes, this one had me very happy. It's the Free Comic Book Day is going to start a crossover or kick off the Infinity crossover, I guess. Am I correct?
Well, it's just called Infinity. It doesn't have any official title right now, other than it just says Infinity. It's being written by Jonathan Hickman with art by Jim Chung. And I guess this is, you know, I guess it starts officially in New Avengers that comes out today.
Which I'm probably going to pick up, definitely, because of that.
And I guess it's going to go through the Thanos Rising miniseries that Jason Aaron is doing, the Guardians of the Galaxy book that comes out in 2 weeks, the Nova book that comes out, Iron Man stuff. So it's, you know, the Marvel's rolling from one crossover with the Ultron stuff right into this.
Which is funny, because I think out of all those books, the only one that I wasn't planning on getting was Nova. So that doesn't hurt me, but maybe I'll pick up Nova now.
I'll say this. I'm gonna stick my toe in the water of Guardians of the Galaxy and see how we do.
See, I really liked them when they did the Avengers Assemble, so hopefully I'll really like Guardians of the Galaxy.
And the Jason Aaron Thanos book I was picking up regardless, just because it's Jason Aaron. You know, whether it was the catalyst to a giant company-wide crossover or not, it's Jason Aaron writing something, and I'm going to get it.
Like I said, and I'm reading Iron Man and enjoying it, so I'm, like I said, that's just pretty much, they were like, hey, let's do a crossover for Todd with one extra book. And I was like, okay, you got me.
Well, there's, you know what, I'm going to guess there'll probably be like the main Infinity, whatever it's going to be called, book.
Right.
So you'll have that one book, you'll have your 2 issues of Avengers a month, your 2 issues of Iron Man a month, the Nova book, the Guardians of the Galaxy book, and the Thanos Rising book as your main core, and then it's going to cross over into everything else.
Right, and because Bendis is writing all new X-Men, there'll probably be 7 issues that month for to tie in with Infinity.
Now, I will say this. I've come to the realization after, you know, just perusing the solicitations for March and April that I will not be getting the Ultron Unlimited books that, like, are tying in. Like, you know how there's your favorite book, and then they're going to have, like, a second issue that comes out that month that has, like, the AU in the number? I'm not going to get any of those. So I'm going to have those holes in my collection.
Oh, no.
Yes.
You're going to go crazy. Me, I'm it all, it might depend on, like, creative teams and if it interests me. But to get them all, like you said, probably not. But and occasionally there's, like, a story that, like, does pique my interest. Like, I'm different than you. I pretty much, you know, pick and choose the day before the comics come out of what I'm going to get. So your OCD, like, you know, precludes you from doing that. So I'm a little more, like, you know, able to vary my book buying. So we'll see. If there's something that actually grabs me, I'll come in and be like, all right, I'll take that, but none of the rest. Or we'll see.
Right. At least for me, from what I've seen so far, Superior Spider-Man and Wolverine and the X-Men, it's completely different creative teams that are normally on those books.
Right.
So it was more so that was my choice. And the fact that I'm like, all right, well, let me read the solicitations, see if that'll get me in. And it's, like, completely different from what's going on in those books at the time.
Right.
And it's more so tying into the Ultron thing, which I'm not going to read. You know, I like Ultron. Ultron's, you know, in my top 10 favorite robot Marvel villains.
Well, that's a very niche list right there.
Well, listen, I'm sure your top 10 is Doombots 1 through 10.
Right, with an alternate.
Right, with an alternate. But yeah, I'm just, you know, maybe they might be great stories. Somebody will tip me off and I'll just go pick them up after the fact.
Right, right. We'll see.
We shall see indeed. Now, before we get to the Kickstarter thing that I want to talk about, you know, we get a lot of our news from a lot of the major news sites, your iFanboys, your CBRs, Newsarama, places like that. But Bleeding Cool is a place where we get a lot of our information as well. And they were one of the sites that shed a light on a scam that was going on. And this is pretty crazy. Did you keep up on all this as it was unfolding over the last couple days?
No, because usually I didn't have a way to check the internet.
Ah, because you broke your phone on purpose.
Yes, I did, so I could have a weekend off from, you know, this crazy podcast.
Well, it all started actually on Friday, where there was an eBay seller who was selling a sketch from Rob Gilroy, who does the art on Chew, and had a certificate of authenticity for it as well. Mm-hmm. And Rob Gilroy came out and said that he never did that sketch. And then the same seller came out and had similar sketches with similar certificates of authenticity from different comic book shops from everywhere, from Louisiana to Calgary in Canada, from Kirkman and Fiona Staples. They were even going to local stores in the Michigan area and trying to, like, sell them as, like, consignment at their shops.
Right. When you said Kirkman, was it sketches or just signatures?
It was a Robert Kirkman sketch that they were claiming to sell.
Okay.
Of him, you know, just doing a sketch with his signature with a certificate of authenticity.
Okay.
Yes. And it was the same eBay seller. They were going to stores. They were putting them up on Craigslist. And, yeah. And they were even selling signed stuff as well. Like, they had Fiona Staples sketches and then signed issues of Saga trades, allegedly signed by her with certificates of authenticity. And it turns out they were all faked.
This is what happens, like, when, you know, comics start to, news about them gets to bleed out into the public and they start to catch on with all the Avengers movie, you're going to bring out the fakes and the forgeries and stuff like that. And this is crazy. I've never heard of stuff like this. I've seen people trying to pass, you know, maybe a signature off or something like that. And I've heard of a fake, like a forgery, like a one forgery here or there, but like a ring is like really weird. And I just don't know. I guess, you know, somebody comes in with a bunch of stuff, you're going to question it. I don't know. Because that just looks weird to me because, I don't know if you know this, I hang out in a comic shop quite a bit and I see what comes in. Like if a guy just brought in a whole collection of different like sketches and signed books, sometimes you're just like, that. This doesn't seem right. I don't know. But it seems, shady and it hurts the industry as a whole.
Now, here's the question I have for you in regards to this. Have you ever been a signed – obviously we know you're a sketch sort of guy, but are you the type of guy to go and buy signed stuff like this if you're not getting it signed directly by the creator themselves?
No, I never buy signed things.
Mm-hmm.
With rare occasions – I don't even like signed books by people that I'm getting them signed by.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big, like, oh, I'm going to get signatures. There's very few, like, legends that I'm like, okay, I got that book that Dave got me, which was, a bound copy of Justice League International comics before they did all that. You could bookbind your comics. Got one of those. So I got it from JM, Keith and Kevin Maguire, like, because that's important to me. But, like, otherwise, I'm not really big on signatures. So I don't get them regularly or buy them.
I'll say this. Myself, I've only got two signed things that I got myself. One was when I was with you and we got the Keith Giffen signatures on the first six issues of Justice League.
Right.
He was very pleasant that day.
Yes, he was.
And again, that's one of my favorite creator interactions, and it's because he was so gruff, and he was so miserable, It's like, I'm like, oh, I felt bad.
You might say he was vexed.
Yes, he was vexed. And then the other one was, remember when they did the Heroes Return gimmick?
Yeah.
After they, and they brought Mark Waid back on a Captain America, and then all those books had those Starburst covers?
Yes.
Dave at the shop, through, it was an early Dynamic Forces thing, and they had the Starburst Captain America that was signed by Mark Waid and Ron Garney, and I loved that Captain America book, and that was like the book that got me into Mark Waid. So that was the only like signed book I ever bought that wasn't directly signed by the person, other than the Giffen thing. But I've had people get me gifts that are signed. Like I have a copy of Sandman Endless Nights,
right? Signed by who? Called?
Signed by Neil Gaiman.
Just checking if it was the artist. You never know.
No. I just had to turn around and make sure I had the title of the book correct. So I have that signed by Neil Gaiman, and then I have a copy of the first trade of Why the Last Man signed by Brian K. Vaughan as well. Both of those were gifts from other people.
I think the only people I've ever really got on my way to get signed, I said the three from Justice League International. I met Neil Gaiman.
Right.
Got something signed, a couple things signed from him. He was actually charging, but it was for the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, so like no problem. It was like I think $5 for a signature for each thing. I was like, no problem. Mark Waid, I got an issue of Flash signed, and really after that, there's not many people that I have stuff signed by.
Right, and see, I'm and you I think are the same way. A lot of the guys like that aren't artists. A lot of the writers, I just like to go up to them, shake their hand, and, thank them for what they do, and sometimes get a photo with them.
Yep, just to chat, talk a little bit, and I'm the same way. I met, Jason Aaron a couple of times at cons. I never got anything signed by him. I've talked football with him a couple of times because he's a big football fan, and I've talked, like the stuff that he does, and, a great guy, nice guy, and that's to me, more like, I'm going to remember that more than, the signature that's in a, not that it's a bad thing, just it's in a box for me, and I don't get to see it, so.
Oh, and you got me that signed issue of Scalped by Jason Aaron.
Yeah, it was a free, it was like What's Next, I think, issue. Because when I met him, he was like, I just want to talk. He's like, no, we have to give you something signed. And he had those sitting there. And I was like, oh, well, I knew you were, a great big fan. So I was like,
yeah.
I'm not going to take it. Maybe you'll like it. Because that's what I do. I look out for people.
Yeah, so again, not much of a signed person. The sketches I have are nowhere near the collection that Todd has. I'm just good shaking the hand, giving him a thank you and maybe a photo. So what I'm saying is I wouldn't be buying these sketches that turned out to be scams anyway.
Turned out to be sketchy.
Yes, sketchy sketches.
That's what they were.
So before we get into digital books and what we read last week and everything else that's going on, we have to talk about the big Kickstarter project.
There's a big Kickstarter project?
Yes, indeed. This is one that I have known about and we've kind of hinted at on the show over the last couple weeks, especially, and over the last couple months, as I was tipped off to it, my super secret inside sources. Art Balthazar and Franco, who will be ending their tenure at DC with issue 12 of Superman Family Adventure. They put out a podcast yesterday announcing the official announcement of their Kickstarter. I haven't gotten a chance to listen to the podcast yet, but apparently, when it was announced in previews that the book was being canceled was the way they found out about it.
They found out about what? That the book, that their book was over?
Yes.
Okay. Just making sure, 'cause that confused me a little bit.
My apologies.
Okay. But that's not a nice way to find out your book's not longer going on.
So, go ahead.
I was going to say, I heard a couple people found out they weren't on books that way, but what are you going to do?
But they officially confirmed that in their podcast that came out yesterday. So, we've talked about their books that they've done before. Superman Family Adventures, Tiny Titans, among other things. They announced that they were going to do their own creator line back in July, and we had talked about it here on the show. When that was announced, I was very happy about it, and then when I had heard that it was going to move to a Kickstarter project, I was even happier. But I think the people that are happier than me about this are them themselves. They set their initial goal at $15,000. And the main thing that you would get would be 6 issues of the book. They said that they have the first 3 issues are about 80% done. The next 3 are about 60% done. And they have a projected release date for them at C2E2 this April. And they met their $15,000 goal in less than 8 hours.
I know when you sent me the show notes, I was like, oh, I'm going to look at this. And it was like, okay, they have a $15,000, goal. And I was like, oh, what are they at? You know, it might take them a while. And they were at 12,000. I was like, oh, they're going to hit that, in an hour or two. So,
yes.
And some of their, what are they called? The bonuses. I forget what they're called.
the pledge rewards.
Yeah, the rewards were pretty cool. I was like, oh, and they're all gone. You know what I mean?
Well, they might have added
more, but when I was looking at them, for the most part, like some of the really cool stuff that I was interested in were one of one gone.
Well, I'll say this just to go over some of my favorites, and the one that I'm kicking myself over, they had 3 spots available at $50 a pop to be a guest on the podcast, and I hesitated for like 30 seconds, and they were all gone.
That was the one that I was actually going to ask you about, because I was looking down, and they were like, oh, guest on the podcast, and I'm like, I think Leonard's got $50 in his pocket. He can afford that.
Well, and it starts as low as $5 where, it's you get a exclusive digital comic that you can only get this way. You can get the digital, you can get the print copy. You can get the first 3 issues. You can get the first 6 issues. And then they even have a thing where you can purchase the first issue, the Kickstarter exclusive digital book, along with an MP3 of them reading the book with you.
Mm-hmm.
They also have, the prints that everybody else has. But then this is where it gets into, some of the crazy stuff that got swallowed up real quick. They had, the 12 issues of Superman Family Adventure signed by both of them, plus the digital book. That was gone. The entire run of Tiny Titans signed by them with the digital book. That's gone. The 26 pages of the first issue, each of those individual pages, those are gone.
Yeah, somebody gets each page randomly if it's the 26 people, right?
Right.
Right, gotcha.
At 3, there was the original art that Franco did for Adventure Time number 7. That's gone. They put up 3 different slots where you pay $300, and if you're someone in the comic book industry, they will do a cover for your book. All 3 of them, gone. They also had 3, and these ones were hilarious to me, where as part of this reward, Mark Waid will call you and tell you why Superman is better than Batman, or why Superman is better than Aquaman, or why Superman is better than any other comic character that you can think of. Those are all gone.
That's one of them that I want.
Well, they're constantly adding and upgrading, because I originally had the first six issues, but in that time it changed from the first six issues to 12 issues. So I have moved up to the 12-issue one. They've added worldwide shipping. As of this recording, they're already at 20,000 with 29 more days to go.
I think they've peaked. They're done.
You think?
But
that, so be prepared to hear about this one a lot over the next 4 weeks.
I'm one of those that I will 99.9% back this.
Mm-hmm.
But I've only backed like two Kickstarters now. Mm-hmm. This will probably be my third. When I do it, I like to wait more towards the end.
Yes.
Like to see if they have like levels, you know, not the like, you know, only 26 spots or five of five. But like, you know, if I had done it and then, you know, now you're saying that they, you know, you can get all 12 issues. That's mm-hmm. the kind of stuff that I'm like, okay, I like to support them for all 12 and yes. you know, and do it that way. So I'm not saying like the last minute of the last second, but I kind of wait unless there would be something kind of cool. When I did the Leaving Megalopolis, I was like, oh, I always wanted a Calafuri sketch. So they had someone, I was like, boom, if I see something like that, then bam, I'll mop it up. But most likely 12 issues, like more towards the end. I want to be, you know, closing the gate for them.
Well, I'll tell you this. When I originally put my bid in for those six issues, mm-hmm. it was $30. And then when they met their goal, they're like, okay, well, you can do either the, you know, being that we met our goal so quickly, we're going to offer, you want the first six issues, you could stay where you are. You want to change it to the first 12 issues, you can go in and manage your pledge to increase it, to kind of like hold your spot if there was like a cool... you know, limited reward that went along with it. You wouldn't lose that, I guess, if that makes sense.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. You know what I mean?
Yes. And they're looking at adding, like, multiples. And this one doesn't have any retailer ones. Like, if you look at some of the other Kickstarters, they'll have a thing. It's like, hey, are you a retailer and you want to sell our book in your store? We're going to give you a thing where, like, you pay X and we're going to send you 10 copies of the book. Or we're going to send you 20 copies of the book.
Right.
They haven't put those in yet because they honestly didn't think it was going to be this big this quick. And they were completely overwhelmed.
Better to be overwhelmed than underwhelmed.
Yes. So they have 29 more days to get all this. And as mentioned, over the next 4 weeks, as this continues, we will be talking as they add newer and crazier rewards to the pledge program.
And maybe I'll do something crazy and get a crazy reward. So who knows?
Yes. So
I got
just
money
search.
burning holes in my pocket.
Oh, so do I. So just search the Kickstarter for Aw Yeah Comics, or I'm sure on the show notes we will have a link directly to it.
And Leonard will probably be tweeting it like daily, so you're good.
Yes, I want to apologize for the incessant retweeting that I've done over the last day or so in regards to this. I'm very excited.
That's
I like these guys
thing.
A lot.
It's not a bad thing. Don't worry about it.
It's good to be excited about new comics.
And that's what comics are about.
Yes. So before we get back into comics, we do have to give at this time a little love to one of our sponsors. And this is a sponsor that's been with us for the last 3 or 4 months now. And that is BakeMeAWish.com. It's Valentine's Day, everyone. Is
right
there
around.
Someone in your life that you want to get something nice for Valentine's Day? Don't get them flowers.
Flowers die.
And unless you're a weirdo, you can't eat flowers.
But you know what you can eat?
You can eat a cake. And that's the other thing is, if you get flowers, you don't get to enjoy them. If you get flowers for somebody else, you don't get to enjoy them. If you get a cake for someone, unless they're a big jerk, they're going to share that cake with you.
That's right. You get a slice at least.
That's right. And if you go to BakeMeAWish.com, it's very easy. They send you a cake. They have cakes. They have cookies. They have brownies. They have all sorts of things. And they also have something very special going on in regards to with a charity, Soldiers Angels, as part of their Operation Birthday Cake. They have a specific cake on there, and the link is right on the front page. where if you purchase this cake as part of their Operation Birthday Cake thing, they're also going to send a cake of the same exact kind to a soldier overseas. And my nephew is just recently overseas, so I'm sure I will be doing that here as well. Luckily, my wife doesn't listen to the show,
mm-hmm.
because when we got our cake in November from Bake Me a Wish,
right,
she still tells people about how good that cake was today, to this day.
I shared mine with the people at the comic shop.
Yes.
And because I have, nobody here at the house. but no, I shared it. And Dave's wife is always like, did they send you another cake? That one was good. And I was like, I'll have to send you one. Yeah, don't worry about it. I'll get around to sending you one. But it was amazing. So,
and like I said, to this day, she still tells everyone about how good that cake was. And definitely check them out this Valentine's Day. BakeMeAWish.com. It's like 2 days shipping. You can get them really quick. And hey, Valentine's Day falls on a Thursday this year. Most people aren't going to be celebrating probably until the weekend anyway. So you can even have it come a couple days late too. That's okay.
Yeah. Cake is good anytime.
Yes, it is. And order one for yourself just to have, like just for like a walking around cake.
Who you never know when someone might drop in and you have cake.
Whenever we go to any sort of big city, like your Phillies or your New Yorks or whatever it is, I always say to my wife, I'm like, let's stop in one of these pizza joints. I need a walking around slice.
See, I don't get a chance to walk around with the slice. I go too fast with it. I get a get me to the door slice.
There you go. So, continuing on with more great things for you to check out, there's tons of digital freebies available, tons of great digital freebies at our friends at Comixology, and they're our friends just because they are the primary source for digital comics. The Marvel freebies this week is X-Men Deadly Genesis, the first issue of a miniseries by Ed Brubaker, which was one of the first things that he did for Marvel, and that's a really great miniseries. X-Men 182 by Peter Milligan, and Secret Avengers 12.1, which was Rick Remender's start on that book. So those are all free, available for you right now through Comixology. And DC is having a sale all this month in conjunction with Black History Month. And it was originally announced that it was going to be different books every week, but it doesn't look like they're cycling the books out.
Okay.
It looks like they're just adding to the list as the week goes on.
So they're keeping the old ones is what you mean?
That's what it appears. Well, they have a lot of the Jon Stewart Green Lantern stuff currently up there right now. They have the first run of the Mr. Terrific stuff from the New 52. I know they're going to have Static Shock stuff coming up. I know they're going to have the entire run of Steel coming up. So just keep your eyes peeled. New stuff is going up every day under the sales section for DC in conjunction with Black History Month.
Cool.
So as we continue on, I guess we're going to get into books that we read last week.
Yes, I think we should.
Where would you like to begin?
What would you like to start with? Because there was a few books that you read that I'm not sure how you feel about.
All right. Well, we Todd and I do our best to kind of keep any sort of opinions we have about the books that we read for the show. Before we get into anything, really, I do just want to briefly mention about Hawkeye number 7, another standalone issue. The last two issues have kind of been one and done. The previous one was a Christmas story. This one is in regards to the recent hurricane that hit the New York, New Jersey area at the end of October. And it's essentially two stories, one of Clint, one of Kate, varying levels of art, but don't let that take you away from it. As the writer Matt Fraction has stated that all of his proceeds from this issue he is donating to the charities involved with the hurricane from this past October. So if you weren't getting Hawkeye before, and that is one of the books that we talk about quite frequently on the show because it is very good, if you buy issue 7, it's going to a great cause. It's going to help the families who were ousted or lost their homes or more due to the hurricane that hit New York and New Jersey this past October.
And it was a great issue. It was, yes. It was very, very touching, and I loved it. And there was one thing that I love is the banter between Kate and Clint talking mm-hmm. about who's the best Bruce in rock and roll.
Yes.
Made me laugh out loud. So
So, and that's the thing. It's not bogged down in any sort of continuity of things. You don't have to read the previous six issues. You can just pick this up and go right into it.
That's what I say. I highly recommend Hawk Guy.
Yes. So that's where I'm starting with. But for real, where I'd like to start with is All-Star Western number 16.
A book I sometimes like. Just kidding. Yes. One of my favorite books.
This is our book of 2013. This is the book that we're going to be continuing to push and talk about as much as it is. And it's not just because we're getting some sort of old school radio payola on the backside to make Stevie Nicks songs number one on the charts. No, no. We're doing this because this is an awesome book that everyone should be reading. And don't be scared by the fact that it's a Western book, because it's so much more than that.
Yes, it is. And I think some things that happen in here are going to eventually tie into what's going on in the modern comics with the Black Diamond probability or whatever mm-hmm. they were calling it. And Hyde as a character in here, I love. Just this month, All-Star Western was awesome, and I like it. It's kind of a nod to an old, Bronze Age story where he's stuck in a wheelchair, you know, that, and they have him in the classic cover, like him being pushed towards a cliff. And this one, you know, is a slightly different, has somebody attacking him while he's in it. But I love it to see, like, what's going on at Arkham's house, what's going on with the mother upstairs. The nurse was awesome. There was yes. nothing about this that I didn't like, and the art, I think, is just getting better and better. I don't know if they colored it different or what, but I was looking through this going, this looks amazing. And just Hex is not really a nice guy sometimes, and that's what I love about him. Him conversing with the nurse in the first page, if that doesn't make you want to read more, I don't know what will.
I'll say this. I'm looking up right now because I too did notice that the coloring was different, and by different I mean better.
Yeah.
It really popped the art, I think, and I really like the character of the nurse as a good foil, if you will, to Jonah being such a jerk.
Mm-hmm.
And if this was any other day, if I'd read this issue maybe 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago, she might have ended up being on my favorite redheads list, because I liked her interplay with Jonah. I liked the two of them together. And was this the first time that we really got to see this much of Arkham's mother?
I think this is the first time we've gotten to see Arkham's mother.
Mm.
I think up until now, she's just been a voice from up the steps.
Like, well, I'm talking even going back as far as, you know, the 80s when this concept about the character was introduced.
Okay, I've never seen her in anything that I've read, so I don't
know. Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Well, I will say this, just looking back at some of the older thing, it is the same colorist going back as far as I can tell here.
Okay. But I think he's doing something different.
Yeah, this issue, definitely the art did look a little bit cleaner and crisper, I guess, would be the best way I could say it.
Yes. And I learned a few new words.
Issue. My apologies. It was around, it looks like it was around issue 9 where this guy came on as colorist.
Okay. I think was Moritat coloring it originally?
No. He was not coloring it. There was somebody else. And again, I'm going to, as is the way of the show, I'm going to butcher the names of these folks. The previous color was Gabriel Batista, not the animal. not the animal Chris Batista.
Right.
But Gabriel Batista, the colorist now is Michael Atieth, Atieyeh.
Ah. Okay.
So around issue 9, he came on as colorist, and like I said, this issue really pops the colors, and I really like it quite a bit. And this was the end of the storyline, so they're going into something new with issue 17, which comes out next month. And if the rumors may have you believe a fan favorite character may be poking his nose around a time where he should not be, come issue 19.
Mm-hmm. And it looks like we're also getting an Old West version of Stormwatch, too, in here.
Yes, that's very interesting as well.
Right. You know, they don't have anything. It's just the end of the issue. And I'm like, I'm interested. I like some of the backup characters that they've created and, you know, get them more time. So I'm cool with that.
So where would you like to move on to with the next book that we're going to discuss?
Would Superior Spider-Man be okay?
Yes. Superior Spider-Man number 2.
Yes.
So go ahead. You can kick things off.
I was going to say
Spider-Verse.
After I read the first issue, I was kind of down on it.
Mm-hmm.
I read the second issue, and I've warmed up more. I like the whole interplay between like Ghost Peter.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's what we can call him.
Spoilers, everyone.
Spoilers, Ghost Peters. Well, he was at the end of last issue.
Right, but I'm sure there's people that still probably haven't read issue 697 of Amazing Spider-Man for some reason.
That is true. Sorry. But I like what's going on. I like, you know, Octavius, you know, in Peter's doing Peter's thing. Just like him trying to do certain aspects of his life and maybe actually doing it, you know, being superior at some aspects and just, you know, like what he's doing and how he's trying to go about his life and do things to date and everything like that. And I'm like, this was really fun. This was more of what I like out of Spider-Man, where it's, you know, more lighthearted at times. Mm-hmm. I think the last ones have been, you know, darker because of what they did with Octavius and Peter and everything. So this, I don't know, this, I really like the feel of this book. And, you know, maybe Stegman ain't so bad, so.
But, look at you warming up to Stegman's art. Next thing you're going to be saying that Chris Bacalo's art is nice.
No, let's not get crazy. Maybe I've just given up. I think that's what what we were talking about. But in the end, I enjoy this book, and I'm probably going to keep going with it.
Yes. Now, I have a question for you as a not long-time reader of the Amazing Spider-Man books. The interplay with Mary Jane and Carly, are you up to speed with who Carly is and what her relationship was with Peter?
No, all I get is that Carly knew Peter was Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guessing by the way she talks.
Mm-hmm.
And other than that, I don't know if they were going out or if they were just friends. She's a cop. That's all I know. And she's on, because she got shot or hurt by whatever was going on in Spider-Man 700, and she's on, you know, taking her time to look into something, and that's all I know about the character.
Right. Well, she works for the police force, and Peter was dating her for a while before all this silliness happened.
Right.
And she was keeping a secret from Peter, and that was that she did roller derby.
Okay.
And then Peter's like, well, I should tell her what I'm up to because obviously she works for the police. She's probably going to do some snooping around and find out eventually. And she told him and she told her, or Peter told her that he was Spider-Man. She was okay with it at first. But then, of course, you know, that never works out well for Peter, the old Parker luck.
Mm-hmm.
And they still remain friends, of course, tenuous friends. And I did like how the end of the issue wrapped up, especially with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I said, I don't know much about her, so that explains a lot to me.
Right. The only reason is because, obviously, you know, you came out of this book the same time my wife did, and she's just like, who's this Carly person? What's her deal?
Right. Like I said, all I got was from, I think, 699, and 700 is everything I know about her.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's nice.
Well, I think that's enough. And that's the thing. That was enough for you to enjoy it. You didn't need the previous 100 issues to have her backstory and her interplay. You know, they covered enough to get you to the point where they are, and now you know what her deal is.
Right, and I think the main point that they pushed, and it was the most important, was that she knew that Peter was Spider-Man.
Yes.
So that was all I needed.
So continuing on with the books that we read from last week, this was a book that was on my maybe pile for us to talk about, and Todd's like, no, I want to talk about Batman and Robin Annual Number 1. So Todd, we are going to talk about Batman and Robin Annual Number 1.
Okay. This is one of those fun issues that just pop up every once in a while. I equate it to that Nightwing Annual a few years ago.
The one with him and Barbara Gordon. It took place, I guess, during the course of Infinite Crisis, I guess?
Right. It was with them, like, you know, remembering back they were stuck in the safe and everything.
Yes.
I think Andraco might have written it.
Yes, that's correct.
But this is one of those that just this is something that I'll keep in a box because it's a fond memory. I love it. It's like one of the like best little like one shot comics that I've read in a long, long time. I like the bookend of the villain thing that's going on. Damian doing what he's doing in this book to distract Bruce is a distraction so Damian can do what he wants, which I love, but also shows a side of Damian that we've never really seen before. At least I never have because I don't read Batman Inc. Maybe he does it over there, but is very touching. Some of the stuff that he does for Bruce to like get in touch with his roots, I thought were some really cool things. Just even like he gives him the note to stand, to look at the picture and stand that far away.
Yep.
And everything. And I was like, so even though he's doing a devious thing, it's one of the most touching like things that I've seen Damian ever do. And Batman, we learn more about Batman and or Bruce and his family. And in the end, you know, it all comes around to what started in the beginning. And I don't know. I just thought this is one of those really, truly brilliant issues that comes along once in a while. And I think people should just go out there and try it.
And I would have to agree with you. And the only reason I wasn't going to bring it up was because, you know, we're not talking about the main book and this. I'm like, well, I'm not really sure where this fits in. And it doesn't fit into what's currently going on in the books.
And that's kind of why I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's something different. It's a different tone to the Joker story. I mean, I love the Joker story as much as it is, but this was more fun, more interesting. You know, I like, you know, everything that was going on. Alfred was awesome in it. And it also makes me feel bad because I'm nervous about Alfred now. And I love him so much. So this book does it for me. And it looked beautiful. There was nothing bad about this book, any way, shape, or form. And I was never a Damian fan. Big time fan, but it's stuff like this that makes me like him more and more.
And that's exactly what I was going to say. Was there's a lot of people that I know that that read these books that hate Damian, hate Damian, and they're like, "Well, I'll read the regular Batman or Detective or this, but I won't read Batman and Robin or I won't read Batman Inc. because I hate Damian."
Mm-hmm.
If you read this book, you will like Damian.
Yes.
That's what this issue is all about, getting you, the reader, to like Damian.
And it worked with me. I didn't hate him. I hated him in the beginning because of the whole, like, he murdered a guy kind of a thing.
Yes.
And, you know, threw a grenade at Tim Drake, I think it was. And I'm kind of like, that's a little, like, harsh for me, for the guy who's going to be, the kid who's going to be Robin. But this is kind of making me forget all about that one moment that made me really dislike Damian. I just wanted to talk about this issue.
So I think that wraps it up for the books that we read from last week.
Wasn't there one more? Wasn't there one more book that someone might have had to read?
Yes, that someone had to read. And that was you having to read Superior Spider-Man number 2 when we already read it.
No.
Of course, we're talking about Doctor Who and the Prisoner... Doctor Who, Prisoners of Time, issue 1 from IDW.
Yes.
And this is a comic that I read.
And I knew exactly how you were going to feel about this as I was reading it. I'm going to guess you weren't a fan.
Well, I'll say this. Knowing absolutely nothing about Doctor Who.
Right.
From the very beginning, the little blurb on the cover page where it says the Doctor is an alien. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know he was an alien.
Well, see, that's what it's there for.
Right. It's there for dum-dums like me, who lose bets and have to read this book.
Oh, God. No. Am I just going to take a drubbing for 10 minutes
a drubbing. I liked the early, like, establishing stuff of, like, explaining, like, who the Doctor is and how he's changed and how he always has a companion and he always does, you know, these sort of things. The main story with that original Doctor... It felt like it was a standard time-travel-y sort of comic book story. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's par for the course
with a
Doctor Who type story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it's something that I hated because it's, you know, I've read similar stories before where there's a character who is in the know of some kind and using his powers, travels in time to see a friend or to help an acquaintance or something that he has with these time traveling powers. And then some sort of bigger, grander scheme is going on that he has to stop. But of course, it's the whole thing is like we're not supposed to alter the time stream and, you know, that sort of stuff. And that's what I got from the main story. But I will say this, those opening couple pages with the establishing of things, I'm like, okay, well, this is going to definitely go somewhere. I like this little bit of setup that it gives you here.
Right, and I was wondering, because you know how you were talking about the character in Spider-Man. With me, I know a lot of what's going on in here, and I didn't think this was a great issue of the time. I love the opening, even as me, as like shows that he's had different forms and, you know, looked at like different people, and different people have traveled with him for times. But as the story went on, I felt that more and more you needed to know about the episode that this is taken from.
Oh, I'm out.
Right. And I don't know if that comes across, because the Zarbi are the aliens that are running around, the bee-like people. And that's from a whole episode. And he's talking about, like, the gold things around their necks that control them. And that's from the episode. And this creature that controlled them, that's from the episode. And I'm like, I understand all this. And I understand. I didn't even, if you noticed, that the first doctor always got his one companion's name wrong. I don't even know.
No, I didn't even notice that.
That he kept changing every time he talked to him. And he got it right like once in the book. And I'm like, these are all things that I love. You know what I mean? Because I get them, but I don't know if someone like you would pick up on them. So I didn't know how the story was. So I thought it was good and bad for a first-time reader. But for me, I enjoyed it. And it was kind of a slower story, because at this time the Doctor's, you know, an old actor who's playing him. And he didn't run around a lot and do a lot of, like, you know, with swords and swinging. Because the guy was, like, you know, 60-some years old, I think, when he was the Doctor. Or 50-some. So it was more slow, like, story-driven, which is just like the first Doctor stories. So all in all, I liked it, but, you know, the first stories are slower and more, you know, story oriented, where action becomes as the Doctors get younger in their actors. So I liked it. I didn't think it was the best story, but it wasn't Batman Odyssey bad. So issue two for you, Leonard.
No, I figured as much, because like I said, it wasn't horrible. The story, you know, and again, obviously, as you just mentioned, being a Doctor Who fan, this is like tying in directly to a specific episode. And obviously, would this be a well-known episode?
It is one of the more classic first Doctor stories.
So now the question I have for you, these giant insect things.
Right.
Were they in the TV show?
Yes.
How horrible must they have looked?
I will have to find a picture. It was people in, like, with fake wings on. It was the most ambitious episode in the of the first Doctor storyline, because it had, like, Peter Pan flying wires and stuff like that. And they like put like Vaseline on the lens, so like the air looked heavy and sparkled. It was really weird for a fan like me. It was a very ambitious episode. I'll see if I can find a picture of the Zarbi and of someone in costume and send it to you.
Good Lord.
I know you want it. That's why.
I'm interested. Now that I know that it's actually, because you look at this, and obviously you can get away with pretty much anything that you can draw in a comic book. And the fact that you're saying that this was inspired by an episode, and, you know, those shows are famously low rent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, lo-fi, if you will, low budget. I can only imagine how that was portrayed on the TV show with that sort of budget at that sort of time. So I look forward to seeing the picture of the Zarbi.
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 Yeah. But the thing is, even though it was low budget, the writing, I thought, was always good. And the thing was, they sold it. Do you know what I mean? Like, at no point were they like, oh, this is, you know, a box that's talking to me. Like, they acted like it was Shakespeare. And I think that's what holds it near and dear in my heart, you know? I don't know. I enjoy the Doctor Who.
Well, again, I'm still on board. You know, I'm not going to lie and, you know, say that this was great, but it wasn't. And I'm not even saying I was going in expecting it to be a horrible comic. I was expecting it to go in to be a perfectly serviceable comic book. And it did surpass my low expectations.
Good. I'm glad. I'm glad we're turning the boat around.
Yes. So now that we've covered everything that we read last week, and that was a lot, what are we looking forward to this week? I'll let you go first.
I think I'm looking forward to trying the Winter Soldier issue with the new writer. I want to give that a chance.
Winter Soldier number 15?
Yes. I think it's number 15.
Mm-hmm.
I will look right now, because Winter Soldier 15, correct.
How about that? It's like I know what's going on.
It's almost like I know what's going on, too.
So, for me, there's a lot of stuff coming out this week that I'm looking forward to. Jeff Lemire taking over Green Arrow, I'm excited about. I'm excited about the Cullen Bunn Fearless Defenders book that's coming out. But the book that I'm most looking forward to this week is actually the book I was most looking forward to coming out in June of 2011. Todd, let's take you back.
Okay.
So Brian Michael Bendis is a writer that we've talked about on the show. I think he gets a bad rap, mostly from me. The way I got into Brian Michael Bendis was a lot of his crime stuff that he wrote. Specifically, Fire that he wrote, Torso, which was great. He also wrote some kind of like personal life stuff, Fortune and Glory, which is probably one of my favorite original graphic novels of all time. Very charming about his trials and tribulations in dealing with Hollywood and as a, you know, kind of naive sort of person in that world. Then he started working for Marvel and doing lots of things there, specifically and most noteworthy, Ultimate Spider-Man and Avengers. And it was Avengers that made me sour on most of his work. And I was delighted to see that he was kind of going back to those roots of the, you know, real life sort of crime sort of stuff with Scarlet, a book under the, not the Max imprint, under the, is it Epic that it's under? What's the...
I think Epic is the...
Is it Icon?
I think Icon now. Epic was their old one.
Right. So this is a book that started back in 2011, and the first four issues came out at a, you know, a pretty succinct pace. Issue 5 was a little late. And now here we are, 20 months later, and issue 6 is finally coming out. Even though Marvel's website tells me it came out in July, Marvel's website is nary to be trusted.
Well, I know it's there. I've seen it.
Yes.
I've seen it. I actually think I might have put it in your pull list bag, so.
Yes. So, to you, the two people who are the most excited about this book coming out, other than Alex Maleev and Brian Michael Bendis themselves, would be listener John Seiler, who he and I have gone back and forth with Bendis himself on Twitter in regards to this issue, and I am very excited for this book to come out, which means I will have to be reading issues 1-5 to get caught up on a book that is almost 2 years late.
Well, go back over everything, that's all I can say, and hope you get caught up.
I most certainly will. I most certainly will. And now before we get into the Twitter question and Sketch Party, which is sweeping the nation.
Yes, it is.
It is hot. I do want to remind everyone, of course, if you are going through iTunes to get the show, be sure to leave us a review. 5 stars. You don't have to write anything. We have some people, a gentleman whose iTunes name is simply Man. And he gave us a 5-star review that just says, always fun and informative. But listener, and again, as per the course, Zeitkran, let us know your Twitter handle, if it's Zeitkran. He gave us a 5-star review and gave us a lengthy discussion in regards to the show. Their show is a must-listen as they discuss the latest news within the industry and talk about what makes these stories they love so great. The two work well together. While all the talk isn't 100% comics, the interplay between these two friends is truly great. They can agree to disagree and appreciate all the different tastes and likes of the people driving that young kid's soul in all of us, except maybe when it comes to supporting a certain artist, creator, and they put some initials here of someone who you enjoyed his recent stint on Deathstroke. They have opened me up to several new books and creative teams, but alas, friends, I cannot say Daredevil is among them. I'm shaking my fist at you. I love to hear the answer question of the week, although I'm not a Twitter fan, so I have not participated. Gotta get on that. I usually listen to the podcast once a week when I go to the gym and can honestly say they make the time blow by and keep me entertained. Keep up the great work. Thank you very much for the kind words. It's reviews like that, and even the simple ones that say always fun and informative, that make doing this show so much fun each and every week. So thank you all for contributing in that fashion.
Yes, we are.
So there. I'm going to turn Sketch Party Saturday over to you, since obviously it was your sketch, And by sketch, it was a page, and there's a story behind it, of course.
Yes, it is a page from Gambit and a Gambit annual drawn by Tom Derenick, who's a friend of mine. So he was drawing a story. It was a backup story in the Gambit about Gambit's father, who's a thief, and he was breaking into Doctor Strange's Sanctum Sanctorum. Is that how you say it?
Sure.
Why not? And in it, he goes down the hall, and on the wall are portraits of the greatest mages who have ever lived in the Marvel Universe. So he put me in one of the paintings in a black shirt with an ankh on, and it looks like me. And I, he's like, "You want the page?" "Yep, I'll buy that page." So that's the story behind that, and I absolutely, one of the coolest things to, be drawn into a comic, I think, and there's a couple other comics that he's kind of slid me into, and I've also had him do a few sketch covers of me, like to certain ones that'll be popping up later.
Oh, the Secret Invasion one. Is that one still hanging in the shop?
No, we took those down. Dave wanted room, so we all took ours home.
Ah.
So, if you ask nice, maybe someday we'll do something interesting with you, with your, face that is just instantly recognizable.
Well, I have my frightening caricature with my Twitter avatar there.
Yes, it is quite frightening. To me, anyway.
So, yes, and we did have a couple people contribute to the sketch party as well.
Yes, they did. And it was up my alley, too, the artist that they were using.
Of course. Listener Jeanette, and I do apologize, Jeanette Ramos, she had put up a sketch that she had done by Kevin Maguire, a name who's never been mentioned on this show before.
Or will ever
be again. A sketch
that
she did that he did of Blue Beetle.
Yes, and it was really cool. I he does the head sketches at shows and stuff like that, and they want to get more, and I have more, so I can completely understand.
So, yeah, so when you see myself, if I remember, and Todd tweet out our sketches, tweet along with us. You don't even need to throw the hashtag in there. If you just tweet at one of us or tweet at the show, we'll track them down, and maybe we'll let everyone see the fancy artwork that you have.
Yes.
So that covers getting people to iTunes, covers the sketch party, covers what we're looking forward to this week, what we read from last week, digital books, news, plugs, the Kickstarter. The very last thing we have to go over, of course, is the Twitter question from last week, which was your favorite geographical location.
I thought that would be an interesting question. Where would you, where would you want to live in the Marvel or DC or any comic book universe?
Yes. And we had a lot of ones that I thought of course, that would be really cool. Todd Ingram 3 on Twitter mentioned Star City. That seems like it would be a fun place. CM Towns on Twitter mentioned Fable Town. Richard Strasberg mentioned City of Kandor. Alan Middleton mentioned Latveria, and I'm sure that's what your choice is.
Maybe not.
Oh, okay. Our good friend DJ mentioned Apocalypse, and that's only because he's crazy and thinks he's Mr. Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
The crazy ones to me, though, were the ones that, I only know in a passing sense. Zeus Ramos, spouse of the previous mentioned Jeanette Ramos, mentioned Danny the Street from Doom Patrol.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave Howard mentioned Phantom X's The World. And I guess these are, those weird nebulous things that don't quite exactly exist in our plane sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, yeah, I liked seeing those ones, because then I'm like, oh, I'm going to Google that one up. Let's see what that is. I'm like, oh, goodness. Especially that Danny the Street one.
Yes.
I know you're a big Grant Morrison fan. It's exactly what you think it would be.
I know exactly what it is, and it's one of the actual Grant Morrison ideas that I actually kind of like.
Oh.
Yeah. So
We'll put that in the shot glass.
It's almost full now.
2 by your count. Damien and Danny the Street.
Yes.
So, Mr. Senior actually threw us one that I was, that I responded back to him. I was a little questionable about that. Sextillion from Saga.
Yes. That was one I didn't think of, but is on my maybe list now.
Yes, that is definitely on the bucket list of, maybe I'll drive by and not yet. But again, we did have a little bit of crossover, not tons. You know, we had Gotham Cities, Marvel's New York, Metropolis. I was surprised to see Themyscira come up. Burke Fournier and Jay Bandoy both mentioned that. And Kevin Burza and Heather Nelson both mentioned Oa, which I was surprised to see get mentioned. But Mayan was mentioned by someone else. And we'll get into a moment. If you would like me to go first.
I would like you to go first.
All right. So when you had said this, I immediately wrote down my answer. And this was one of those ones where I didn't need to go back and think about it. I didn't have many different choices. I thought of me not being the type of person who likes to go on the beach, likes to leave my house. I'm not much of an island guy. But I thought to myself, there is one island that I would have liked to have gone to at least once.
Okay. And I think I know exactly what it is now.
And that was from the aforementioned Keith Giffen, Kevin Maguire run on Justice League International, and that would be Kooey Kooey Kooey.
Ah, very nice island. Now, was it before or after the casino was destroyed?
I think I would just like to go there at any time just so I could say that I was.
Be part of
that legacy. I'm a Booster and Beetle fan, and I'm a fan of all their schemes and scams.
Yes. It's an interesting choice. It was one of mine, but it's not mine. Several ones that I thought of was Atlantis, but I drowned.
Right.
So I took that one right out. I thought about the Dreaming, but there's too many things that could kill you there.
Yes.
So I don't want to go there. So I ended up with one that a listener came up with is Opal City.
Ah, yes.
Where Starman lives. I love the look of it. I think, you know, like everything about it, it's just like, you know, the deco look and everything that that Tony Harris made it look. And I just like the feel and the everything that I've ever read about that city. And plus the shade would save me because that's the one place he's good.
And our listener Robot Hammer mentioned that is the classiest of all the DC cities.
Yes, and so he wins this week.
I didn't know there was a prize, but if there was, I guess he wins.
Yeah, he's got the correct answers, basically what I'm saying.
Well, I do thank you, everyone, like I said before, with the iTunes reviews, and of course everyone who contributes to the Twitter question each and every week. And this week's Twitter question is actually going to be a tough one. I know it's going to be a tough one for you, maybe, unless this is one of those weird ones you've got, like, the story in your back pocket ready to go.
It's a noggin scratcher.
Maybe. Okay. Maybe. I think it's... You know, I think it's maybe a similar shot glass to your good Grant Morrison ideas, which I don't agree with. That doesn't Todd's opinions about Grant Morrison are not that of the entire show.
Just two people. That's like your warning, like on the backpack of cigarettes.
Right. We haven't done this in a while, of a specific character or characters, your favorite story of that character. This week, we're going to ask you to let us know on Twitter what your favorite Wolverine story is.
Ah, I actually know this one.
Oh, there you go. I thought this would be one that may be escaping you. But I know you weren't much of an X-Men person. But again, Wolverine's on every team. So I'm sure if you were reading Power Pack, there was a Wolverine Power Pack story that you love.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just tweet to us with the hashtag GrizzWLQ. Let us know what your favorite Wolverine story was. And, you know, we're talking cartoon, we're talking comics, we're talking movie. We're talking a team book. We're talking a solo adventure. Maybe that giant. Did you see the pictures of that giant hardcover that's coming out of the collection of Wolverine stories?
The Adamantium collection or something?
Yes.
Are you getting that for your mom?
No.
I think she'd love it.
I think she would love it too. But the fact that it's bigger than and probably weighs twice as much as the baby, I think no. Like that would just smush him.
Okay. I figured you would, but, you know, if you were a good son.
No, I'm a horrible son.
That is true.
Yes. I'm just a rotten person, true and true.
Yes.
So, again, thank you everyone for listening as we close up shop here on episode 64 of the Weekly Long Box. I do want to mention one thing, as Todd intimated before, as he knows that Scarlet number 6 is in my bag, my pull list for today. This will be the first time in a long time that I myself will not be personally picking up my books. My wife is going to pick up my books for me. So it is a very delicate situation that's going on with her picking up the books. Not so much that she would foul things up, powers out of her control, man, would mess them up, and my anal retentiveness would feel really bad if a book was missed because she would blame herself.
Mm-hmm. I pulled what was in your email, so
yes.
If it's not in your email, it's not my fault. And you missing a new comic book day, it just makes me feel bad because since I've been going to our shop, Comics on the Green, I have never missed a new book day.
Mm-hmm.
Even in blizzards, I've gone down and gotten my book. So
right, and there was that blizzard we had in December that you brought my books to me. So I'm going to count that as though I got my books on new comic book day.
On that one, but tomorrow, I don't know.
Right.
Or today.
And she's going to be there like crazy early too.
Yeah. So I'll miss her.
Well, that's what I just wanted to mention. That if you run into my wife at the shop, don't give her too hard of a time. She's doing a good deed for someone who is very busy, unfortunately.
Yes.
So one last time here for Todd. This is Leonard closing out the episode. Thank you all for listening to the Weekly Longbox, and we will catch you all here next week.